At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Fantasy Sports Today, welcome in. Frank Mitsch, David Maddock, an hour of fantasy sports talk. We've got plenty to get to here on today's show. We'll recap some of what happened in Major League Baseball last night, as well as the NBA play-in games. We actually have some NFL news here at the top of the show with a long-term extension for a quarterback as well. So we'll dive all in today, get you ready for the DFS slate tonight as the play-in games continue. Davis, great to be with you. Hope you enjoyed your first baseball game of the season. Did that end up happening last night?
Yep, I did end up going. I did enjoy it. It was a good game. The Kansas City Royals did end up losing to the St. Louis Cardinals, but got to see Salvador Perez hit two home runs. Got to see Albert Pujols' first home run as a member of the St. Louis Cardinals. And what would he leave, 9 years ago, 10 years ago? So got to see that. And the most heartbreaking part, though, Craig, was Mondesi gets to first base. He gets his steal. What happens when he steals his base? Michael Taylor hits a home run, so the stolen base doesn't count. Mondesi was sliding into second as the ball heads over the center field wall. So I should have been happy, but I wasn't because I really just wanted to see the Mondesi stolen base.
The life of a fantasy baseball owner is a very troubled one. I would agree with you. Here are our headlines as we begin the show here on this Wednesday. The Brooklyn Nets, although they did not cover, they end up winning, and so did Minnesota. And they now are seven seeds, a couple of more play-in games tonight, and then again tomorrow. Albert Pujols, as Davis mentioned, hit home run number 680 in his career in a win over Kansas City. Alyssa Nakin makes history as the Giants beat the Padres. The Giants first base coach was thrown out of the game. And Alyssa, the first woman coach ever on a field during a regular season game, she took over for him at that point. And the NBA play-in games continue tonight. A lot to unpack with those, I suppose, Davis. I thought that maybe the most entertaining part of last night's game wasn't necessarily the Brooklyn, what was actually Patrick Beverley last night going completely off on his former team on the Los Angeles Clippers. Post-game was something to see, but look, the best win and the best season for the Timberwolves in as long as I can remember, so kudos to them.
Absolutely. You know, Karl Anthony Towns is a really phenomenal player. I know he kind of got himself into some foul trouble, but was really cool. I mean, just cool to see these guys play a meaningful game. Cool to see D'Angelo Russell play a meaningful game, 30 points for Anthony Edwards in, you know, one of his first meaningful games as a professional. And, you know, I mean, I still think the Clippers are a good team. And, you know, obviously if they added Kawhi Leonard into this mix, you know, if Kawhi Leonard was starting instead of Nicholas Batum or getting minutes instead of Norman Powell, I think things obviously would have been a little bit different from them. But I thought these games were really good. I mean, of both games, I thought the Nets game was entertaining. I thought the Clippers T-Wolves game was good. I said it yesterday, but I really think this is such a win for the NBA. You know, I think some of the players have kind of complained about it, and some media members too were like, well, it doesn't really count as the playoffs if you make the play-in. But I mean, these are good games and the stakes are so high. Like, I think watching basically a single elimination basketball game is really interesting. I think it's really good TV.
Yeah, one and done is always fun, and that's sort of the dynamic. And of course, a couple of games tonight, we're going to preview those coming up in just a few minutes in our daily fantasy segment. Davis, the notion that Derek Carr's days in Las Vegas appear to be definitely not the case. Of course, you know, Devontae Adams now a member of the Las Vegas Raiders, but we got the report from NFL Network in the last hour that Carr's going to be with the Raiders long term. And I don't know that this speaks to Carr as much as the state of quarterbacking in the NFL, Davis. And I know Carr stat-wise put up some really big numbers last year, but quite frankly, it is hard to find 10 good quarterbacks in the NFL. Carr is sort of right on that fringe, and the grass is not always greener on the other side of those quarterbacks. And I think that's more or less the reason why Las Vegas is like, we got to get this done.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a horrible deal if they want to be a Super Bowl winning team. But if you want to be a team that can contend for the 5 seed, the 6 seed, you don't want to be a laughingstock. You want to make the most of this trade that you did for Devontae Adams. I mean, clearly this was the right decision to continue the mediocrity that has been the Las Vegas Raiders, right? No one's betting on them to win the Super Bowl. No one's saying, you know, this is going to be the team. This is their year. Like, everyone right. knows they're still the fourth best team in their division, but the alternative, and this is what people don't consider, is: do you want to be the Houston Texans? Do you want to be signing Tyrod Taylor and Davis Mills? Like, do you want to win 4 games? Not a lot of teams want to win 4 games, and I don't really blame them for that either.
Yeah, and I think that, I mean, maybe there will come a day in the NFL where it's really amazing when you think about it, Davis, with all the colleges that there are and with all the development that there are, that you could get 25 good quarterbacks in the league. But I have yet to see a day that that's happened, that it's more exposed now because of the elite quarterbacks that are out there.
Absolutely. And you know, I think we're going to see an interesting dichotomy of that in this year's NFL draft, where, you know, Pickett and Corral were the best college players, right? Both of them were really good. Both of them won big games and everything. But I don't think either of them are going to be the first quarterback that is selected.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Malik Willis is probably going to be the first quarterback that's selected, because it's all about the upside now. That's all any of these teams care about when they're drafting, which I think is correct.
Yep, similar to Trey Lance, and honestly similar to Josh Allen a few years ago as well. All right, our fantasy standouts coming up next in Major League Baseball. We recap all of the games from Tuesday night and tell you who cashed in DFS from a hitting and pitching perspective. So stay on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We have lots of day baseball action, of course, and that will be starting in about an hour from now, an hour and a half from now. And, of course, Scott Farrell coming up later. keeping you updated on all the games that are going on Coast to Coast, as well as our Newswire show, which starts in just a couple of hours from now. But Davis, let's rock and roll here with some fantasy standouts from Tuesday night and take a look at who did what, who cashed in DFS. One of the players that we're going to have to take a much closer look at for sure is Seiya Suzuki of the Chicago Cubs. He was 2-for-4 yesterday with 2 home runs, 2 RBIs, 2 runs scored. He has 3 home runs this season. What a great signing this appears to be from the Chicago Cubs. Jose Ramirez from the Cleveland Guardians. This guy is super underrated, and that just continues. 3-for-5, a home run, 6 runs driven in, and a run scored. His buddy Stephen Kwan, I think Stephen Kwan has not swung and missed, if I'm correct on seeing that this season. Marcell Ozuna, 3-for-6, 2 home runs, 2 RBIs, 3 runs. Dave is all excited about that. That was a very underrated pick, I think, in fantasy. And Davis saw Salvador Perez hit 2 home runs from Kansas City last night. But let's start with Suzuki here, Davis. Like, look, we've seen this before. Many years ago, the Cubs brought a player from overseas. His name is Kosuke Fukudome. I don't know if you remember him. And he was this big sensation. He got off to a pretty good start, and everyone thought he was going to be great. Kaz Matsui, when he came over to the States and he ended up playing for the Mets, he was a sensation to start too. I guess the question is this sustainable for a player like this? We know he's not going to hit 50 home runs, or we don't think he's going to hit 50 home runs this season, but this would be a huge get if the Cubs, if this kid ends up being halfway decent for the Cubs this year.
I mean, it would be, I do think part of the reason why a team that is not spending that much money and does not really have big aspirations, this year would be because he is, if he is as good, obviously he's not going to be like, Otani or who is the designated hitter for the Yankees?
Hideki Matsui.
Hideki Matsui. Yeah. Like, so those guys, those were 40 home run a year type guys. Now, obviously if he ends up being that good, he is going to be super valuable in any sort of trade market. They're going to be able to cash in on that. His last year, Seiya Suzuki's last year in the Nippon League, he hit 38 home runs. He stole 9 bases. He batted .317 and only struck out 88 times in just a shade over 550 plate appearances. Craig, honestly, I am kicking myself for not, arguing a little bit harder to draft him in the NFBC main event. The guy looks phenomenal right now. And let's put it this way. I feel more bullish about him continuing to display these sorts of skills than I do about Stephen Kwan continuing to never strike out. Because you know what happens with these guys who never strike out? Remember Williams Astudillo, who I think is technically on the Marlins right now, is maybe they don't strike out, but they just start to ground out a lot, and those ground outs add up and they get very frustrating for the manager. Cause the trade-off that Stephen Kwan is making for generating no swings and misses is that he's not powering up, right? His launch angle is very low. He's just trying to get on base and just kind of eventually that sort of runs out. Marcell Ozuna though, what a start to the season for him. 2 home runs last night, the Braves, what they scored 13 runs last night. Like it was just unbelievable. And those are the nights in DFS that are a little bit frustrating, because when we saw it the other night with the Athletics too, like when a team just puts up that much, it doesn't even matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you pick all these great other players in the positions, just 5-man stacks of that team are winning tournaments, and you definitely needed that with the Braves last night.
Yeah, Washington threw D. Gordon in there in the ninth inning, and he ended up hitting Travis d'Arnaud, who fell to the ground. It's like a joke. I believe they said it was the slowest pitch on record in National League history, 34 miles an hour or something crazy like that. All right, fantasy standouts from the pitching perspective. How about Tyler McGill for the New York Mets? Back-to-back really good starts for him. 5.1 innings pitched, no earned runs, and 5 strikeouts. Jesus Luzardo of Miami had the best start of his career. 12 strikeouts, 1 earned run, and 5 innings pitched. He pitched amazing yesterday for them. Alex Cobb had also a great game. He struck out 10 in 5 innings, picking up the win for the San Francisco Giants. And Edwin Diaz, if they could get him right for the entire season, he is a weapon. He got the save yesterday, struck out 3 in 1 inning pitched. Now, naturally, McGill is an interesting story here, Davis, because of all the discussion of DeGrom at the beginning of the year and all the discussion, of course, of Max Scherzer, not to mention the addition of Chris Bassitt, we really didn't know a ton about Tyler McGill Mets are clearly protecting him third time through. Does not seem to be an option for him. But does it really matter if their bullpen pitches well? This kid has a chance to succeed.
Well, it definitely matters for our purposes. It matters for fantasy baseball because the elite starters are the ones who, I mean, they just crush your ratios, right? They're going 7 innings. They're going 8 innings. I'm eating that right now with Zach Wheeler not getting out of the 5th inning last night. Shane Bieber not getting out of the 5th inning last night. Very obnoxious for drafters who took those guys in the first 3 rounds of their drafts. But McGill is definitely interesting. He has not walked anyone yet this year. However, he does have a 100% left on base rate. So we'll see how long this continues. The projections, though, are already updating for his starts this year. You know, they feed in with the new information. And our friends over at our friend Derek Cardy with the bat has him now for just a hair over 4 ERA and a really good strikeout rate. So I'm pretty interested in him. I'm more interested, though, Craig, in Jesus Luzardo, who is a former, you know, top style prospect who was traded to the Marlins. Upper 90s fastball, amazing slider, and really good command. He's been injured, obviously, as a professional, and has really, really struggled with the walks. That's just been his huge deal, is he just gives guys free passes left and right. But, I mean, if he gets that solved, I mean, it's like, I'm not writing this guy off. So that sometimes pitching prospects just take forever. Like, if he strings together 3 starts like this, I'm going to be like, yeah, this guy's, he's ready to go. Like, he's Jesus Luzardo. He's who we thought he was.
Yeah, and look, they got him in the Starling Marte trade. He looked awful when he got to Miami. His last start of the season was great. The one thing that both managers after the game said was that the shadows were playing a big factor in this game yesterday. I have not been bullish on Luzardo, so I am going to be curious to see if what he did last night is legitimate. And look, there's just no telling. It is pitching. As you said, Davis, the kids come up great, and then they struggle, and then you just don't know what to do with it. Speaking of which, on the flip side here, we really don't talk a ton about the guys who are struggling. I don't know if you noticed this, but a second straight year of Jared Kelenic coming up to the big leagues with the Seattle Mariners. He was one of the biggest risers in ADP from the beginning of the spring into the end, and here we are. We're kind of in the same situation with him. Obviously, it's still very early on in the season, but a little alarming that 2 years in a row he gets off to the start.
Yeah, I mean, he's had 17 plate appearances, and he struck out at 8 of those plate appearances. So, you know, and there was definitely a discount on drafts in him compared to, you know, we didn't even know if he was going to be up last year, and he was still being selected. He's not the only one, right, who is struggling. I mean, how many young guys? I was watching Bobby Witt Jr. in person yesterday. He made an error at third base, and Dakota Hudson on one of his plate appearances, he looked lost. I mean, he just, like, Hudson was just like playing with him. It was kind of startling to see. Obviously, Bobby Witt is very young, and you know, there's lots of time, but it's just a reminder, Craig, baseball's very hard, and really good baseball players can go in extended slumps, right? Remember when Jose Ramirez was like useless for like 4 months, guy couldn't do anything? Like, baseball is just so hard. That is one of the things I'm reminding myself for fantasy baseball this year, is that it's just a very hard sport to consistently be good at.
Yeah, no, definitely so. Very unpredictable. All right, coming up next, it's time for us to preview our 2 play-in games in the NBA tonight in Daily Fantasy. And then we've got Fantasy or Reality in the Sports Grid 60. As a reminder, our Newswire show, day 2, coming up later this afternoon at 2 o'clock Eastern. So hopefully you could join us for that as well as we update everything happening in the world of sports wagering. All right, so don't go away. NBA DFS coming up next. Get out those DraftKings apps, pull them up, and we'll help you set a lineup next. Stay on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. I'm Craig Mish, along with Davis Matta. Good to be with you here on this Wednesday. Davis, we have 2 games tonight in the play-in schedule in the NBA. And as I look at the odds here sitting on FanDuel, 2 games with the exact same lines. Rarely see that. -5.5 Atlanta and New Orleans as well. So before we get into the slate, let's talk about these 2 games tonight. You know, certainly we're closing in on the, I mean, I guess the real.
So these games are pretty interesting because we have some dueling narratives here. Remember how good the Hawks were last season? And, you know, they make the Eastern Conference Finals and Trae Young, he's like amazing. Like, oh, well, you know, this guy's one of the most improved players in the NBA. No one can stop him. And they just kind of were very underwhelming this season, a really bad defensive team, despite the roster not being all that different. You know, most of the same crew. Part of the problem is Trae Young is basically the worst point of attack defender in the NBA. He's just really not good at stopping guards from getting penetration in the lane. Seems like that would probably be a problem against LaMelo Ball. Like, letting LaMelo Ball get wherever he wants to go on the floor seems like it's, you know, not particularly going to be that good for them. And then on the other side, the Pelicans-Spurs game is so funny because it's a team who desperately wanted to make the play-in, right? The Pelicans are like, we got to convince Zion to stay. We got to add talent to the roster. Let's trade for CJ McCollum. And the Spurs are like, we don't want to be here. We traded away Derek White for a first-round pick. We shut Dejounte Murray down. Dejounte Murray didn't even play in the last 2 weeks of the season because he had a sick tummy. Like, they just, you know, it's the Spurs, right? It's Greg Popovich. It's the system. And so I do like, I guess my leans on this game is I like the Hornets with the points and I like the Pelicans as well, but it's really not going to surprise me if the Spurs win this game because it's just kind of what they do. They run their sets. They do, like, you know, they know exactly what they're going to get. And also sort of surprisingly, like, we think about all these great Spurs teams, it's always old guys, right? It's always veterans who've been there forever. And they have new guys integrated into the system, right? Keldon Johnson has had a phenomenal season. Devin Vassell is going to be playing a ton. And I find that particular game, that Spurs-Pelicans game, so fascinating because it's one team who really wanted to be here and one team who was here by complete accident.
Yeah, I think I saw somewhere that if the Spurs win, they would have the worst winning percentage of any team in the playoffs in the history of the NBA. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I think I heard that yesterday, but certainly you're right, Davis. They not predicted to a month ago to even be close to this, but here they are, and you have to wonder how serious they'll take this game today. But one game scenario, why not? I suppose. All right, two games tonight. Here we're gonna give you some tips here on DraftKings. By the way, all of this information can be found over at dailyroto.com for free. Davis putting the lineups together for you here. All right, so let's start off with the point guard, and that will be LaMelo Ball. Not a surprise, 9,700 for him. Bogdan Bogdanović got him a shooting guard. Herb Jones going on the cheap here at 4,500. PJ Washington is 5,100. And then we have Jacob Poeltl, who is 6,600 tonight.
So this this slate is pretty fascinating because I think the big decision point is, do you play Trae Young or do you play LaMelo Ball? I think LaMelo is the slightly better play. Effectively, I think that LaMelo is going to be able to do whatever he wants on offense. And I think Trae Young, although Trae Young, I guess, in the four games that these two teams did play against each other, Trae Young, for whatever it worth, was absolutely phenomenal. I think he averaged 31.5 points a game against them. So that is sort of interesting, but I think LaMelo is the slightly better play. Part of the reason why I like playing LaMelo over Trae Young is that I also prefer to get in Bogdanović, who is going to be, it's basically going to be a trade-off, right? Trae Young and Bogdan Bogdanović, not like they're not going to both have great games together. If Bogdan is, you know, if he shoots 12 three-pointers, those are directly taking the ball out of Trae Young's hands. And I think that this price tag on Bogdanović is just really good. Heading into the playoffs, he had been absolutely on fire. He had 38 points, 29 points, 42 points, and 38 points heading into the playoffs. So he's just playing really well. I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but with the cheaper guys in these two-game playoff slates, I like the guys who I know are not going to get benched or lose playing time if they are playing poorly on offense. And I definitely know that's true with Herb Jones. They're absolutely going to need Herb Jones's defense. He might make second team all defense as a rookie, which is like basically unheard of. Like, rookies are never good at defense in the NBA, but Herbert Jones is phenomenal, and they're going to need him against Devin Vassell and Keldon Johnson. So I think he should probably project for like 34, 35 minutes with Gordon Hayward ruled out of this game. So I think that is a really good price tag. PJ Washington is going to get a fair amount of minutes here, both at power forward and backup center. I guess it'll kind of be what do the Pelicans or what do the Hornets do with Mason Plumlee versus Jakob Poeltl, who is sitting there at center for us. If they think Washington can hold his own and they don't need to play Plumlee, Washington I think could see 32, 33 minutes, and I'm kind of betting that's the case because obviously Plumlee is not adding a ton. And then Poeltl is, remember, he was involved in that Kawhi Leonard trade. That's how he ended up being a member of the San Antonio Spurs, and they have really turned him in to quite a player. He's very skilled on the interior and is an elite rebounder. So I just think he looks a little bit too cheap here, priced at 6,600. I really like him in this slate.
All right, let's get to the final three on tonight's slate here. Again, on DraftKings, those of you who are playing tonight, that's where we're getting our pricing from. We have Josh Richardson. He is priced at 4,600. Miles Bridges is at 7,100. And then Devin Vassell is at 6,000. So naturally, Davis going down here for the discount for Richardson and then spending up a little bit at forward and slightly at the flex.
Yeah, Richardson has been, I mean, really, he's been a key part of the rotation for the San Antonio Spurs, which, again, I mean, you know, they get a first-round pick, and they acquire a guy who immediately slots into the rotation, playing about 24 minutes a night. You know, really, Richardson, it's just going to come down to, does he hit his three-pointers? If he makes 40%, 45% of his three-pointers tonight, he is very likely going to be, you know, one of the better dollars per point plays of the entire slate. If he misses all of his shots, he's probably getting you like 17 points, and you just kind of have to live with that. But I think he is a decent risk reward play. I really like Miles Bridges here. Again, very similar to Herbert Jones. He is not losing any playing time because he is so phenomenal on defense. Another guy who might make second team all defense here as a younger player. Bridges, you know, does have a more expansive offensive game. And I think that he also might get some run here as the small ball four. So again, I'm talking about Mason Plumlee. If Mason Plumlee's minutes shrink here to he gets 1 4-minute rotation in each half or 3 4-minute rotations, I think that's going to mean that Washington slides to center, Bridges slides to power forward, and they can afford to play these smaller lineups because the Spurs play three guards a lot of the time. You know, they'll play Murray, Richardson, and Vassell, which is sort of a three-guard lineup. So I think Bridges' minutes are pretty safe. And then I've mentioned him a bunch here, but Devin Vassell, I mean, just one of my favorite young guys in the NBA, a really good shooter, 34, 35 minutes tonight, you know, just kind of produces in all the categories. I'm really excited for these to see these young Spurs guys play an important game.
Yeah, and it could be a win. I mean, who knows? 5.5 is not a lot in a do-or-die game, that is for sure. And as we saw last night, Cleveland played with Brooklyn, so I suppose you never know. All right, so we have 2 minutes before we got to go and get to fantasy or reality. I know that yesterday on the show, I think that we promised 2 minutes for soccer talk. We don't have dubs here today. So, Davis, I will turn it over to you. Champions League, big result yesterday in one of the games. What happened?
Oh, it was so the cool thing was that the two games that were on yesterday were being simulcast, right? So you could watch both of them at the same time. And basically the equivalent of what happened in one of the games was, you know, your Yankees, your Lakers, your Dallas Cowboys losing to not a minor league team, but pretty darn near close to it. You know, Bayern Munich loses their two-legged tie to Villarreal. Bayern Munich, one of the richest clubs in the world. You know, all of their players feature for their national team. They've been on the cover of FIFA. You know, they get paid millions and millions of dollars, like the financial resources. And they you know, they were banging against the door the entire game, and they fell asleep for just a second. Villarreal gets a goal, I think, in the 83rd minute. It just was very chaotic. And then on the other hand, Chelsea, who is in the news right now because their former owner, Roman Abramovich, is, you know, being forced to sell the team due to international sanctions. And they, of course, play against Real Madrid, one of the biggest teams in the country, or in the world, really. I mean, in terms of brand score. And that Chelsea scores the three goals they need. They're up on aggregate, of course, because these games are played over two legs. And again, 85th minute, 86th minute. Real Madrid gets the goal that they need to advance. And, you know, you have the scenes of the players crying and upset. It's just the drama of sports is really unbelievable. It was the games were great, Craig. I wish you would have been tuned in. I think even you could have gotten sucked in.
Baseball being back, it definitely consumes a lot of time for me. And so, gotta parse through it all. By the way, Little League games last night, a lot going. New show hosting. So, yeah, trying to get the most in that I possibly can for sure. All right, coming up next, it's time for a little fantasy reality. We do have a viewer-related question that we will ask. So stay on the grid for that. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports. Today, we've got Fantasy or Reality coming up next. Do you have a question for me or for Davis Maddock? Hit us up on social media. At Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. Of course, it has the latest news and information on social media, on Twitter. But even more importantly, if you have a fantasy or reality question, just tag us at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV, and just use the term fantasy or reality and ask your question. And if we like it, we'll use it on the show the next day. So hit us up there at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV. That being said, we've got afternoon baseball to get to. Plenty of information in the NBA tonight. Before we get to all of that, though, let's ask some questions today in fantasy or reality. All right, so fantasy reality will start, Davis, with the NBA today. And look, based on injuries and other things that have happened, another great season for the Phoenix Suns. And I think to no surprise, Monty Williams was voted the top coach in the NBA from the Coaches Association. Williams, who was a pretty good player, I would say, in the NBA, and I believe coached with Greg Popovich in San Antonio, has gone on to arguably be one of the best coaches in the NBA. But Davis, I'll start with you on this one. The very best of all? Is that a fact? Fantasy or reality? Monty Williams is the best coach in the National Basketball Association. Is that fantasy or reality?
So I think Monty Williams is a very good coach. I think the results that he has gotten with this iteration of the Phoenix Suns the last two seasons, I mean, basically taking them from the depths of they were one of the teams tanking for a lottery pick, and they go 8-0 in the bubble, and basically they completely turn themselves around as a franchise with the acquisition of Chris Paul. But I have an answer, Craig, that I think is going to make a lot of our viewers happy, assuming they are from the South Florida area. I think Eric Spoelstra is probably the best X's and O's figuring it out on offense and defense coach in the NBA. He has been given some of the weirdest rosters in his time in Miami, right? So they had to figure out the Wade-LeBron thing, right? Two ball-dominant guys who are not good three-point shooters. How do we make that work? They made it work, made the finals a bunch of times. They kind of go through a barren period, and they were still good even when they didn't really have any true top end talent. Goran Dragic was their best player, and they were figuring it out. Now they kind of have the same lineup where they have a bunch of non-shooters, right? Lowry, not really a shooter. Bam, not really a shooter. Butler, not really a shooter. And they were contending for the one seed pretty much all season. They are, other than the Boston Celtics, the best defense in the NBA. And he just finds ways to use the players that he has in a really creative way that brings the best out of them and minimizes their weakness. And I have always thought it was because he was a video room guy. That is how, like, you know, so how, you know how some people are just there's like a specific word, like a prodigy, basically. Like I just kind of think Spoelstra sees basketball in a way that most of our brains can't comprehend. So for me, he's the best coach in the NBA.
Yeah, and look, you're right. They've had a lot of different versions of the team in Miami, and they've been successful virtually every year of them. So I think it's a fair point. I am in agreement with you, though. I would not say Monty Williams is the best coach in the NBA. The other coach that I like, and I don't know if he's the best or not, because, again, they probably have the best or second best player in the world, is Mike Budenholzer, who I did not know a ton about a couple of years ago. But very obviously, he's doing something right. And the reason why, look, the championship, obviously, that they won last year is very big. But to me, Davis, coming off that epic collapse that Milwaukee had in the bubble against Miami 2 years ago, to come right back essentially with the same team and win the championship. And by the way, they're in position maybe to win again this year, too. Understand, Giannis is as good as anybody in the NBA. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know if Budenholzer is the best coach in the NBA. But I do have him higher than I have Monty Williams. So I am going to say fantasy for you with you as well. All right, over to baseball. It has been a tough start for the team that I cover on a daily basis, no question. The Miami Marlins, they're off to a 1-4 start this season in their 5-game road trip. The organization at the beginning of the season told the players they had to get off to a really good start and hit the ground running, and instead they are doing what they've done for several years, which is basically throw water on that and have to pick up the pieces. Already 3 games under 500 in that division to start the season. So we're going to ask fantasy or reality. Davis, of course, I'll have my answer on this, that they will call up their top three prospects. And this is a question from those of you on social media. JJ Bleda, Max Meyer, Edward Cabrera, and we're going to use the qualifier of this season. So, you know, certainly I'll have my answer on this. But there is a couple of wrinkles here as well, especially with Edward Cabrera, who is currently on the injured list. Do want to mention that, Davis, before you give your answer. So fantasy reality, Bleda, Meyer, and Cabrera.
Yeah, I'm saying no way. I'm saying no way does this happen that all three of them end up getting called up. So Edward Cabrera has actually been up to the major leagues. He had 26 innings and 7 starts last season. He was not particularly good. Seems like, assuming his recovery from this injury goes fine, that eventually he would be back up. He's at low A right now, working on his injury. He had a bicep injury. So seems like he probably will be up, right? Like he's already been up to the major leagues. He's already faced major league competition. Feels like he will come up. Feels like Bleda will not. This is his first exposure to AAA last season in 2021. He spent the entire time at AA, and of course, he was one of those prospects. We're in such a weird state with a lot of the prospects who are 23, 24 years old because they basically missed a year of development against live pitching in 2020 because the minor leagues weren't happening. And Bleda was decent in AA in 2021. 12 home runs, 5 stolen bases, but only hit .212. So I'm saying he doesn't get up. Max Meyer also, I don't think is going to get up. He would be close. He's only 23 years old. Maybe he gets the September call up and gets 2 starts in September. But I'm saying fantasy. I don't think Bleda gets up at all.
Yeah. Well, I will say this: if this is reality, this is going to be a bad year. This is going to be a really bad year if this turns out that way. So I'll go in the order that you did. I am in agreement with you on Edward Cabrera. I think it's going to be later as opposed to sooner because, again, he's having to rebuild back up now, Davis, after being hurt again. So, I mean, April, just rule it out. May does not seem realistic. And by the way, their pitching has been pretty good at the start of the season. JJ Bleda has also gotten off to a really rough start in AAA again. This is the second year in a row. And with them signing Avisel Garcia and Soler, Davis, like if they have to go to Bleda, even if he's good, I think something went drastically wrong this season. I think they'd like him to just play the whole season out and show something positive there. Where I will disagree with you is on Max Meyer. I do think Meyer is going to come up this year. He threw 5 perfect innings yesterday, and then he cramped up and left the game. This is a potential superstar, And Miami's going to need to go through eight or nine pitchers, just like every team in baseball. I mean, the White Sox are already at seven starters, and we haven't had a week of the season. So Meyer's sort of like the eighth or ninth starter, maybe. But he'll come up, and he'll make his debut this year, probably this summer. So I will say all three fantasy. I will agree with you. But I got Cabrera and Meyer up in the big leagues this year. All right, finally, the Hollywood Walk of Fame. This was something, Davis, when I was growing up, that was a huge, huge deal. People would go to it. It was amazing. Then it came out about, I think, 15 or 20 years ago that this thing was shady, but it almost felt like if you did things for the community in Los Angeles and you money was involved in it, then you could even get your own star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I don't know how you feel about it, but it's a good question for fantasy or reality. And here we go. Getting a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame is still a big deal. Naturally, it's something that used to be a huge deal. We always used to look at it. But DJ Khaled is the next one to get a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So still a big deal or not?
You know, I kind of think it is. I kind of think that it is still a big deal. I mean, I guess maybe for like, you know, a true movie star, right? Like if you're Ben Affleck, if you're Matt Damon, like this is something that does not matter to you at all. Even probably for DJ Khaled, like he's probably like, whatever, you know, I've done stuff in my life 10 times cooler than this. This doesn't even really register to me. But like, I'm thinking of like, you know, maybe like character actors or, you know, someone like that. Like, I feel like they're for a, like, you know, maybe like a C-list celebrity. I feel like it still probably is a pretty big deal, like a cool thing. You know, you're enshrined in this city forever, which, by the way, the history of Hollywood is kind of fascinating. If you don't know why Hollywood ended up, it basically was a place for people to go and break laws because there were so many laws about the production of movies back in the 40s and 50s, which is just kind of neither here nor there, but just a fun little fact. But I feel like reality. I feel like for you know, a great proportion of people who do TV, film, and music, making it on the Hollywood Walk of Fame is still like a cool moment for them, just not for, you know, the true top tier of celebrities.
Yeah, I will have a little bit of a different approach to the answer here. I think it is reality that it is a big deal for anyone as an individual who gets their star, but I just don't think it carries that same cachet that it did 20, 30 years ago. I feel like it's much easier to get a star on the Walk of Fame than it was back then. Now, how that has changed and why it has changed, I don't know. I sort of alluded to money being involved here and donations and things of that nature. I don't know exactly, but look, DJ Khaled had his yesterday. Jay-Z showed up. Diddy showed up. Fat Joe showed up. So obviously they still feel like it's a big deal, Davis. So if they show up, then I think I'm willing to go with that. So I'll say reality for the person, but I think overall no longer a big deal in the scope of where it means your celebrity is. I guess that's fair, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think that seems like sort of a fair representation of the situation. I mean, I guess I'm just thinking like, would I take a Hollywood Walk of Fame star? Would that be cool for me? Absolutely, 100%. I want my name. Oh, what is it? Is Rodeo Drive is the street it's on or whatever? I mean, yeah, very, very cool. Like I would be the, you know, Craig Mish and Davis Maddock for Fantasy Sports Today. They come, we do our ceremony. Absolutely. We'd both be so in. Yeah, 100%.
We're there. We'd have a Sports Grid 60 to talk about before we did that as well. Speaking of which, Sports Grid 60 is coming up next. So Davis and I will have 60 seconds of commentary as we wrap up the show, give you a little scheduling update for those of you who are catching our show right now. You may be wondering, why are you guys on so early? Our show is now on every day right here on Sports Grid, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern. Again, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. And then I take a quick break and we'll come back at 2 o'clock Eastern to deliver you our Newswire show, which is a mix of odds and information and special guests and panelists that kind of dive into the world of sports wagering, update you on the legalization from a lot of different states and the latest odds and injuries, by the way, as it affects the world of sports that, of course, we wager on here on our 24-hour network here called Sports Grid. All right, we'll take a quick time out, wrap up the show with the Sports Grid 60. So make sure you stay on the grid. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The debut of Clayton Kershaw coming later today for the Los Angeles Dodgers against the Minnesota Twins. We've got a full slate of baseball games. Of course, Scott Farrell's got you covered. 3 o'clock Eastern, live updates on all the games. I'll be with you guys later this afternoon on that show. Let's turn it over to Davis, and this is the Sports Grid 60.
Yesterday, I went to my first baseball game of the year, Royals at Cardinals. Had to see my boys when I came to town. And I've talked about this stuff in Sports Grid 60 before, but it really is unbelievable the degree to which fantasy sports has changed the way that I engage in sports viewing. I talked in the open about Michael A. Taylor's home runs, you know, stealing the stolen base from Odyssey, which was really frustrating. And I was kind of thinking the same thing with Bobby Witt Jr. Like, I mean, obviously it would have been really cool to see his first home run or whatever, but I, you know, obviously have Bobby Witt on my fantasy teams. And so I'm sitting there and like, he's at the plate and, you know, I'm not really paying attention to the score. I mean, I know what the score is, but it's not like I'm not downtrodden, right? When the Cardinals hit a home run, I'm more just like, and Paul Goldschmidt is on my NFBC team too. And he went 0-for-4. So I'm sitting there like, you know, Arenado hits a home run, but Goldschmidt can't. Like, this isn't what I came for.
Yeah, and listen, big part of that for me too. Going to games, I think the same thing as spring training. Think the same thing in the regular season. Let me give you an NBA story that I'm rooting for. These Minnesota Timberwolves. Why not? Is it possible that they could get out of the first round? I have no idea. But the last time I remember Minnesota being pretty relevant, it was Steph Marbury. It was Kevin Garnett. It was Flip Saunders as their head coach there. Has it really been that long since Minnesota's been good? It feels like this is their best team since then. And you know, I thought Patrick Beverley's postgame was awesome, kind of going in on his former team. Anthony Edwards was there by his side. Maybe this is something too exciting to watch in the NBA playoffs. I'll be rooting for them for sure. Thanks to our friends at LTN, as always, for getting us on the air. Danny and Ryan on the graphics. For my producer, Brett Levy, and my co-host, Davis Maddock, I'm Craig Mish. I'll see you at 2 o'clock Eastern for Newswire. Have a great lunch. See you then.